Yo, what up, Grizz Nation, and welcome back to another Grizz 901, your favorite Memphis Grizzlies post-game show, and it's not even close. Tonight, we're going to get into the loss to the Los Angeles Fakers, 136-124. Listen, I was expecting to come on here, and tonight would be a great game. I thought that we would have AD out. The Grizzlies had a chance to kind of come back, and honestly, they showed up a little bit, but it looked like the Grizzlies were the team that was coming off of the double overtime game on the road with travel. It did not look like they had the burst of energy. It didn't look like they, and it wasn't because of LeBron James tonight. It was because of guys that were left open. We're going to get into all of that from the top. But in the second segment, I do have a Brandon Clark Grizz trivia. So make sure you stay tuned for that right after we get through the game or kind of recap all of that. But that, listen, that's all we got. Let's go ahead and bring in our guy. I know there's been some speculation, but Nate showed up. He's not embarrassed, Charlie. Nate's here. Wrong button, Daniel. Yo. Look who it is. It's Jake. I mean, Nate. What up, Nate?
Oh, I feel great.
So you know how like Gigi's been playing so awesome this year, and like we're like, man, at this point, is it making like Luke Kennard expendable, yada yada yada?
Yeah,
is Gigi now expendable because of Jake LaRavia?
Listen, we're not getting into that narrative.
We got jokes.
Yep. Shout out to you, Charlie, showing up. You know, just curious if you were going to show up tonight, but you did. You did. Jake did go off tonight. The Grizzlies do lose 136-124. It was a game that it was exciting. It was much better than the previous game out in Denver. And so, listen, I'm up. I'm awake. I'm excited to be here. Not the complete opposite of that Denver game. That Denver game could not keep me up. But honestly, as the Black Ninja DJ is saying, it was 1-2-3 Cancun tonight. That's what it looked like. The Grizzlies do have 9 games remaining, and so we're going to be here for majority of those. We'll be here the weekday games after each and every game. The weekends we are going to take off, so make sure you kind of keep staying tuned. I believe that leaves seven of the 9 games we're going to actually have shows on, and so make sure you stay up for that. But all right. Off the top rope, let me get your immediate thoughts about the entire game.
I mean, I guess it was exciting. It was certainly better than the Denver game, but like, dog, they were getting pounded that whole game pretty much. I mean, I guess the first half was sort of competitive, but man, it was just, they just didn't defend all night long. It was terrible. There was one time where there was some kind of guard, and I don't know who was guarding Jackson Hayes, but he kept trying to switch Jaren like 3 times in a row, and Jaren just stayed on the perimeter guarding a guard. I'm like, this is just what tonight is. And then Jackson Hayes gets the ball and dunks it. It's like, it's just terrible defense. They put up 124. I mean,
no, absolutely.
Scoring was fun. Other than the fact that the Lakers scored 28 from the free throw line, that's not super fun, but that's what you get when the Lakers come to town.
Yeah.
I mean, it was. It was better because guys made a bunch of shots and stuff. It was still gross.
Yeah.
It was still nasty. It was fun to see Brandon Clark come back and do some Brandon Clark things. Like, that was what I was looking at. I think someone made a boo-boo. He played 21 minutes tonight. I'm assuming he's supposed to play one less than that, but training staff's going to be pissed. Listen, I love that Jake LaRavia has these games because, one, I told you, I'm turning heel. I'm the biggest Jake fan there is. Until he gets traded to another team because he keeps playing super well. So I'm super excited about that. Desmond Bane having 15 assists, pretty awesome. I mean, it just was one of those games. It was just nasty. Yeah. Just nasty.
Yeah. The defense was horrendous. Like, they looked like they were just kind of turnstile type defense. On the show this morning, Driving the Line, I talked about this game being a turnstile type defensive game. And Jonathan Coachman, who y'all know, he went under on the game. And I was like, after a game where you go, you know, it, you know, double overtime on the road, whatever. You're, if they, since they got the win, I felt better about the over than I did the under, because the under, you're like already like pissed off. You show up and you're not in a good mood, and you show up and you play like a, not in a good mood. Well, tonight they show up like they were in a good mood. They had LeBron back, and those other guys are young to the point of like, I think they had a chance to really just kind of show up and kind of, you know, get their bodies back quicker. So more than somebody of my age and LeBron's age.
Well, and, that's why they call it gambling, not winning. Yeah, so
exactly. And
happy late birthday, old man.
Hey man, thank you.
You are LeBron's age. It's gross. Isn't that gross?
Both born in 84. So yeah, shout out to us. Still in our prime. Still mm-hmm. in the yeah. No, I actually played basketball this morning and it was not in my prime anymore. Still. But the game tonight, you're talking about 35 free throws for the Lakers and then 19 for the Grizzlies. Somebody was saying that they saw that, you know, the fouls look pretty Marco said the fouls look pretty fair. I believe so. There was some bad calls on both sides. Well, for the most part. I don't think it was gross.
It's not like the Grizz are sitting there playing elite defense. Yeah, there's a lot of fouls at the rim because they got to the rim a ton. So
exactly.
Yeah, it wasn't terrible. I'm just saying that if it can be called, it will be called when the Lakers 100%. Come to town.
Yep. Let's go through the game a little bit. Let's start off with the Lakers. It's obviously a Rui Hachimura game.
Always.
It always is. Do you know who guards Rui Hachimura?
Desmond Bane? I don't know.
That is
Santi Aldama.
Reigning defensive player of the year.
Jaren was on Rui? Was he really?
All night.
Oh, I wasn't even paying attention. I did not notice. I was too busy trying to make myself feel better about having to watch it.
And that's the thing is, like, I love Jaren. I love his ability to play, like, kind of rover-type defense. But the problem is with rover-type defense is you always lose your guy because you're having to overhelp. And that's what he was the whole night. He was overhelping. As Chris Girl says, no one.
Yeah, no one guarded Rui.
And that was pretty much what it was. He was not on Jackson. Like he was not on Jackson Hayes. Like,
well, the rover thing is just—it's a great concept, but sometimes it just doesn't work, and sometimes you just got to match up. And so, when guys are making shots, you got to quit doing that. And Grizz get torched on it a lot. It doesn't help that there is no one to put down in the paint. To help Jaren out. Like he has to help on everything. And so if they had a guy like a Steven Adams still in the paint, that would help Jaren a ton. And that's why like we like that kind of prototype type big, because somebody can lock down the paint where Jaren doesn't have to help on everything inside the arc, which by the way, our guards get blown by left and right. Especially now with Smart and Vince out.
Bro, Scottie Pippen, just next time, just slap him on the booty as you let him go. Like, it would look more friendlier than you good just game. Pacing.
Good game.
Yeah, good
job. Go get a bucket, kid.
But that's the thing you're going to give this team is, like, right now, they're just defensively, they are not there. And I get it. Like, you have 9 games remaining. It is 1-2-3 Cancun. But we're talking about just kind of overhelping. And I know that Jaren was on LeBron some of the game. Because they would switch and have Jackson Hayes with BC. And so that's how they would share the defense that way instead of putting BC on LeBron. Hey, I know you're coming back from Achilles. So LeBron's your mouth tonight. No, that ain't it. So they put Jaren on him. And it looked okay at times. But overall, it was not good. But getting past Rui, he did have 32 points, 10 rebounds, 7 of 8 from deep. Bro, like that's nasty, nasty.
Every time he plays against us.
Yep, LeBron, 23 points, 14 rebounds, 12 assists. He had 0-for-1 on three-pointers, which just showed that there was zero defense at the front of the rim because he was getting to whatever he wanted to.
Yeah.
Jackson Hayes played decent, man. 14 points, 7 rebounds, 6-7 overall. 23 points, 5-9 from deep for D'Angelo Russell, and then 13 points, 0-for-4 overall for Austin Reeves, but he had 11 assists. Like, they were passing the ball well. And they were getting to whatever they wanted to, which was one of the biggest things. The bench looked okay.
Torian.
Yeah, Torian. Sorry. I would almost call him.
Tayshaun ain't played in a minute.
Well, I saw the T Prince, and it's just the first thing that popped in my head. Sorry. Shout out to you, T Prince. 15 points for Torian Prince. And then Dinwiddie had 14 points and 7 rebounds. Let's get into the Grizzlies a little bit. Jaren Jackson Jr. 70 points, 9 rebounds, which is a better sight. Like, the fact that he's got 9 rebounds is a good thing, but also passing the ball with 3 assists. He's been passing the ball pretty well. 0-for-4 from deep. What that shows me is, like, hey, you don't have it from deep tonight. Don't keep shooting. I'm fine on 4 shots. 0-for-4 missing.
Yeah.
Aldama's kind of witness protection last 2 games. 6 points, 3 rebounds. GG, one of his worst games he's had all year. 10 points, 4 rebounds. Scottie Pippen Jr., 11 points. He looked fine, 2-for-4 from deep. And then Desmond Bane, 26 points, 4 rebounds, 4-for-9 from deep, but 16 assists, dude. 16 assists is huge for him. The fact that his usage rate has to be skyrocket for 16 assists and the 26 points. Looks good. Jake LaRavia, we haven't talked about him yet. 25 points, 7-for-9 from deep, 6 rebounds, which are big. And then Lamar Stevens adding in another 11. And then Brandon Clark, 6 points, 5 rebounds. So not bad out of BC. Thoughts on Brandon Clark, because I have my initial thoughts, but just overall, what's your thoughts on BC?
Yeah, I thought he looked pretty much like what you would expect in a good way.
Yeah.
Like, you don't expect him to be jumping out of the gym first game back. You expect him to be kind of timid and cautious, but he got to his spot a couple of times, laid some in, had some good activity on the boards, which is the main thing the Grizzlies need,
right?
Especially looking at next year. And two, he was making good cuts to the rim. He was doing a lot of good things. So,
yeah,
it wasn't like blow your socks off type of game. But generally speaking, it's what you wanted to see. You wanted to see him get to his spot, get to his little floater, just to see him actually get to it. Not even make it, get to it. You want to see him have some bunnies. You want to see him be able to go and get some activity on the boards, because those are the things that made him so valuable to you. He'll make the shots, and he'll figure it out when he knocks the rust off.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, I saw everything I wanted to see from him tonight, other than, like, come on, training staff. It's 20. We all know it was 20. 21? Come on, man. 9 games left. You can't go to Cancun yet.
Yeah, absolutely. So, as Heaven's Healthy Kitchen, shout out to you as always, one of our proud sponsors. BC was a little rusty, but that's understandable. He hasn't played in a year. All right. What I saw with BC is, he looked fine for what he was doing out there. His movement was extremely cautious, extremely slow.
Yep.
Listen, that is going to be normal, and it's going to be the new normal for this year. And the reason I want to bring it up is because it's not about this year. It's about next year. Yep. All of this that you're seeing is on purpose. They're wanting him out there to, in a sense, like, kind of get a little bit of the rust off, but also do some things that might seem a little crazy, and it might kind of be a brain F. And so what's going to happen is he's going to do some things that's going to feel a little weird, and then he's going to be like, okay, I got past it. Just like a quarterback who just had a knee injury or something like that. It's the first hit he takes. He's like, all right, cool, I'm back, I'm back. But what I did see is his gait looked a little weird. And so I'm not saying anything bad about it. I'm just saying, like, you can tell he's like super cautious, because he's like, God, I don't feel like the same person just yet. And it's going to look like that for a while.
Basketball players at large, but especially like a Brandon Clark, all run kind of funny. Like, it's like you're only running X amount of feet, and you got crazy long legs anyways. Like, they're just constantly ready to change direction. So,
yeah.
Not worried about it. You're exactly right. It's all in the mind game right at this point. Like, it's all like, get your head right. Because if he gets his head right, he has 9 games to do it, or however many he plays in those 9 games. We would assume at least 5, probably more.
Easily, yeah.
He'll be able to get his mind right. And then you go into the summer and you don't worry about that anymore. That's not in the back of your head. You are just focused on getting ready in the offseason, getting your game right. Your head's already right. So, that's the only reason they brought him back. There's no other reason to bring him back this year.
Yeah. No, absolutely. So, listen, I think that BC is going to be just fine. But I wanted to say that for the simple fact that some people might be worried about maybe what he looks like early on. And I promise you that that is the least of your worries should be about him, because he will be he'll be fine next year, as long as he can get past this.
The fact we get to see him at all is good. That was a win.
Yeah.
It came into the game a win. So I like what I saw. Like I said, I thought you're absolutely right. He looks cautious, but he did Brandon Clark things.
Yeah.
That's all I wanted to see.
For sure. All right, so let's get into a little bit more about the players overall. Bane, you know, played well. He looked good. I didn't see anything that was just too crazy for me to be like, oh my God, like, dude is just not looking good.
He's the man of the hour.
He continues to play well. And coming off of those two stinkers that he had in Golden State and then Denver, the reason is, if anybody's paid attention to this, Golden State and Denver both face guard him. Like, so they deny him the ball in a sense. Like, they don't want the ball to come back to him. And when they do, they go over everything. And then they sometimes trap and then they'll hedge coming off of a screen to make sure they give the ball, like, he gives the ball up. Like, and tonight he gave the ball up, but he also scored, which is big. Yeah. And so that's the improvement I'm seeing out of him. But also, a lot of people have been worried about the backup point guard. Your backup point guard is going to be more of Desmond Bane. I have seen that. I continue to see that. We saw that to begin the season. I think you're going to continue to see that through and through. And that's why we won't necessarily need a Derrick Rose or even Scottie Pippen Jr., except for like maybe stretches throughout a regular season. I think the backup point guard is the least of our worries, because as long as you have Ja Morant, you can always send out a Desmond Bane or Marcus Smart and bring one of them back early to run an offense opposite of, you know, maybe a Ja Morant or something like that. So we'll see. I'm curious what happens, but thoughts on Desmond Bane, anything crazy that you saw, good or bad?
No, I mean, it's nice to see him be able to sort of get out of that funk, but it's nothing we haven't seen, man. Yep. Nothing we haven't seen. It's good to see him do it again, I suppose, but, you know, it just is – I guess we've gotten to that point in the season. Again, everybody's sort of inching toward the cliff of despair, but we're all going to stop just short of it. It's like, man, imagine when you have Ja Morant back, as good as this guy looks and stuff. And then you get actual defenders back on the court, which is the main thing that hurt to watch tonight. You get your guys like Vince and Smart back, and then get a center. They got to get a center. I hope we are kind of past the Jaren at center hopes, because it's just – not realistic, in my opinion.
Why is that?
Personally, I've never been on that train. I've never thought it made sense. Okay. It's just not what he does best. He doesn't defend bigs and lock down the paint as like a true anchor. What he does is he just covers up all your mistakes, because he is a crazy good athletic defender. It's the same thing as like Giannis. Giannis is not necessarily a lockdown the paint anchor type guy. That's why they have a Brook Lopez. Yeah. Giannis is still the best defender on that team. Right. But you got to have somebody to let him do what he needs to do. That's not it. It's just not his best spot. It's not the best thing for him. Now, if you want to close with like a Brandon and Jaren, and then you have them both kind of play like hybrid type roles, that works fine. Right. And I think tonight was a bit of a, hey, he's trying to cover up so many mistakes, because you got Scottie Pippen Jr. and whoever else getting blown by all night long, right? So he does have to try and do too much. But at the same time, it's just not the pinnacle for this team. The pinnacle is having somebody else next to him that can lock down the paint.
Yeah. Yeah, I see that. But I also see that you can get a big, and I think you can kind of be versatile with it in a sense. Like, so if you're saying a center, like, do you have to get a starting center?
Yes.
Have to.
Yes. You have to get a starting center. Yes.
So are you saying
get a starting center?
The Grizzlies need a starting center and a backup center because they have no centers on the team?
No. I think you can just get a starting center, and that allows you to be flexible. You get a starting center, and either that guy can close for you if it's the right matchup, or you can go to something that's like a BC and a Jaren. But you got to have something, right? You got to have something. And honestly, we might see Tillman back here bringing the Celtic wise man ways with him. So, like, you might have a pretty cheap backup center already coming back. So, who knows? But you don't need
hold on now. Center.
You just need somebody. You just need somebody that can start there and can play a true center role next to Jaren.
All right. So, let me just say, it's not Xavier Tillman.
I didn't say that. You have these big-ass earmuffs for your microphone or for your headphones, and somehow you still only hear half of my sentences.
No, I heard you. You're saying if, like a guy like Xavier Tillman, or we could get him back or whatever.
No, dumbass. What I said was you could have a backup very cheap, like Xavier Tillman coming back.
Got you. So you're saying that a guy like Xavier Tillman could be a backup in addition to a starting center. That's all I'm getting at is the starting center part.
Yes.
Okay. I don't know if you need a starting center. I really don't. I think that you can, but I don't think that you have to. That's where I'm at. I've been there this whole time just because I do like Jaren. But the problem is this matchup, no matter whatever reason, and it's not even AD, he does not play well against the Lakers. And I don't understand that.
It's not true. He played really well against AD directly earlier this year.
Yeah.
And it's not that. It's that you don't have a big that can contend with Anthony Davis, that can contend with even like a Rudy Gobert. Like, you just don't have that. You have to have that.
Yeah.
You have to. The league is getting really big, really fast. You got to have somebody who can do it. And that's not Jaren's. And it's not even that he can't. It's that is not what he's best at.
Yeah.
And it's all about maximizing your best players. We've seen him. We just talked about it. Go toe-to-toe with AD and do really well. This year, that happened. But that is not what he's best at.
Yeah.
He is best at being the free safety type role, being able to cover up your mistakes. Right. You got to have someone who's able to bruise with these guys.
Yeah.
And you don't have it. That's why you have to have the starting center.
And normally you would have a better team of rebounders. Like when you have Vince out there, like you have better rebounders. Tonight, they did not do a good job rebounding at all, in my opinion. Chris from No Bluffing Podcast, you know, he says we're totally unserious about championship running Jaren at the five, if we're, you know, just starting five. Like,
I agree.
I don't know if I believe that, because I think that you can be versatile throughout the game. I'm going to stand on that. I don't think you have to have a starting center like on this team next year. Now, you can kind of see how it goes and you can potentially go that way. But I do think that there needs to be a dominant rebounder, but also you have to have locked out defenders around Jaren because he wants to be the roamer. So I agree on both sides, but I do think that you can get a backup, the guy to bring off the bench, and then somehow, you know, you're talking about, you know, hedging a few minutes here and there, and it ends up working itself out. Like, it's not all about the starting of the game is what I always, you know, conclude to. But the very end of the game, you do want to have the option to be able to go big if you need to. And so that's the other big thing.
That's when you start big, but most likely you start big. That's why it needs to be a starting, because you want a center. You don't want somebody who's just a body. You don't want someone who's just a body. You want someone who you would put in to match up with these other bigs. And I'm not even talking about dominant bigs. I'm just talking about true bruiser bigs with size and strength that will dominate the boards. You got to have somebody. And so you start them, and then maybe you close with something else. Maybe it is a Ja, Bane, Smart, BC, Jaren, or you insert Vince into that lineup somewhere, right? Like, there's a lot of different options, but at that point, you're versatile enough that if they have one of those bigs, you can throw somebody in there and actually do something about it. And again, it's just not what Jaren does best. So
no, I agree.
That's why it wouldn't work.
Yeah, no, I agree. And so my biggest thing is, you don't have to be like, you don't have to like go and get this one guy and spend a lot of money on getting a guy because you have to have a starting five is what I guess I always go back to as well. So what I'll say is, if you go get somebody like let's say Andre Drummond, okay, if he's cheap, he can be your starter, right? It doesn't matter. As long as he's playing his set minutes, he does help you, especially when Jaren goes out. He does give you more size. That's really what I want to go for. I don't want to go for a big that costs a lot of money. Like a Nick Claxton, I don't want to go get him for a lot of money. Like, if you give me somebody under $10 million, I am thrilled if you want to have them as a starting center. And that's fine. And then you intertwine whatever. The No Bluffing Podcast, you can check it out. They are live. Chris and Evan are live every Monday at noon now at Bluff City Media here on the Bluff City Media Network on YouTube. In a scenario, you know, what's a name you'd start at the four? So I just saw this from Chris on here, but Naz Reid is a guy who I really do like. Now, he could be a four or five. It doesn't matter. If I'm going to go get somebody as a starter, I'm fine going to get a guy like Hartenstein. and bringing him in, he's going to be a five. A four, I don't know. There's a lot of people I would go get. But
Jeremy Grant.
Like, there's guys I would, but it doesn't make sense money-wise. So I haven't thought about who I'd want to go get. I'm fine if it is, you know, even though we would be super small, we would have to fly up and down the court if you had Vince into a starting lineup there. You'd have to fly, which possibly. But Trey Jemison is not the future goon. Listen, I love him.
He has a future, but he's not the future.
Not the future. We'll see, though. But yeah, that's a good. It's a good conversation, because I do think that there has to be a big on the roster, whether they're a starter, whether they're not. You know, whether they're you know, coming off the bench, it doesn't matter. But either way,
yeah, you can.
I'm down.
You can have a conversation about a lot of things.
A lot of things.
One of the sides is definitely wrong. Listen, I do think it's a decent conversation, because we have seen the Grizzlies succeed with those types of lineups, but I think it is very much so a niche lineup, and okay. I think that you got to have a big, yeah, and you got to have a big that can actually compete. It can't just be a body.
All right, we'll see. We'll see. All right, anything else you got on this game tonight before we get into the second segment?
Nope.
I can tell you're not feeling well tonight.
I feel good. Wonderful.
Oh, I do not believe you.
I'm 10 stars.
10 stars. All right, we'll be right back here. We'll play a longer one. Give Nate a little rest, and me. I gotta find the stat. I can't find my stat. We'll be back here 1 minute, 44 seconds. Don't go away.
I also see the game a little bit differently than everybody else. Like, I don't put a lot of, I guess, because when you are a journeyman role guy like myself in the league, the feeling side of it, I don't really get wrapped up in that.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of times we get too many people, they the feelings get so wrapped, like you're doing something to somebody. Like, mm-hmm. it's personal. And this is a business, bro.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And that's the mindset I try to tell all these young guys when you come in.
Mm-hmm.
The sport of basketball stops once you become a pro.
Yeah.
It becomes the business of basketball.
Wow. Yeah.
Make sure that you got guaranteed contracts. That's what I tell everybody. Don't get wrapped up on this team that's on the front, because this can change. You just want to make sure that this Jerry West logo, I got this little Nike. You want to make sure that Jerry West is on your jersey.
There's not an iron on.
Exactly. You see what I'm saying? Not, yeah. Exactly. That is sold in.
Yeah.
That's what you have on your. And if you can keep that mindset, then you can, all of the outside bullshit, you won't even worry about what this person said about him. People look at me and say, I had to do 5'10", play 12 years in the NBA. Was no big time score.
Mm-hmm.
Dude just was a good guy that played on his team. His teammates knew that he was going to be there for him. I wanted the next guy to be just as good. I wanted him to eat. What was my role going to be on that team? Mm-hmm. And then in the summertime, I go kick on people's ass in the summer.
Yeah.
And people always say, man, why you don't do this when you go back to the league? They don't ask me to do this.
Right. You doing what's keeping that logo on your chest.
I'm doing what's keeping this logo right here. Mm-hmm. And then when I come in the summer, we're going to get it in. Right. That keeps my juices flowing until the next time.
That's what's up, man.
Tune in to The Anthony Sain Show, Wednesdays and Fridays at 12 p.m. weekly on the Bluff City Media YouTube channel.
Yo, we are back. We are back. We're Grizz on a one. I am Daniel. He is Nate. We're here live for you after each and every Memphis Grizzlies home game. We're only going weekly right now, or I guess the weekday games, the weekend games. Meh. The only weekday game we will be is the very last one. So make sure you tune into that last one. It'll be the Denver game, but all the other ones, we're gonna take some time away. There's no reason to kill ourselves on a team that is definitely out of it. Cancun. Maybe that's the title of the show tonight. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, Cancun. I was gonna say finish the sentence, because there might be lots of reasons just for the beginning of the sentence, but. Sorry, right. Might put a little E for explicit on it now. Sorry, guys.
The sponsor of the Grizz Trivia is Pews from Flower Shops and Commercial Maintenance. Pews has been around for 30-plus years servicing the Mid-South. But did you know that Pews also does residential lawn care? Pews Residential Spray can take care of all of your weed control and fertilization needs. If you want to create that perfect weed-free lawn, then call Pews Residential Spray today. For a free estimate, 901-633-2118, and let them know that the Grizz 91 crew sent you. And remember, with Pews, you get the big company strength, small company values. All right, you ready for this one? This is a Brandon Clark Grizz Trivia. Somehow I cannot find the exact stat for last year, but I have been like feverishly looking for it tonight. But I cannot find it anywhere. But anyway, I do have the stats. I've memorized them all, but tonight is all about Brandon Clark. When he returned, it was a game that obviously we were all looking forward to, and we were happy. Let me see if I find it. Nope, still don't find it. All right, so I'm looking for it, but either way, Brandon Clark led the team last year in 2-point percentage shots. Mm-hmm. I would imagine he's going to be a key contributor moving forward on this team in the 2-point percentage area. He does not lead the team this year because obviously he doesn't have a high percentage. He's only played one game tonight. So we're going to throw him out. But overall, the entire team, the entire year, there is one player that leads in 2% field goal percentage, 2-point field goal percentage. Who would that be, Nate?
For just the Grizzlies?
Or just the Grizzlies. This is Grizz trivia, in case you're wondering. It says it down here, like this.
Just saying. Listen, you've thrown me for loops before. So this year leads the Grizzlies in 2-point field goal percentage.
Yes.
It's like a minimum games played or shots factor in here.
He's got plenty of games, and he leads everybody, no matter if they played one game or 50.
2-point field goal percentage. Let me think.
If you got an answer in the chat, please let us know. He needs all the help. And then while you're thinking about it real quick, I want to give a shout out to Luke Kennard, him and his, I believe it's his wife. It's gotta be his wife, right? They're married.
I believe so. Yes.
Okay. Him and his wife they've had their baby. And so he's been out for personal reasons for very good. He's now got a healthy baby. It looked like, I don't know if it's boy or girl. So shout out to the Kennards. Your lights just went off.
That's never happened before. That's a new one.
Go ahead. Give it to us. I'm seeing some. I see some guesses.
That feels like it can't be right. So I'm not going to say it. I'm going to go with no, that can't be right. Desmond Bane.
Desmond Bane is incorrect.
He's got plenty of games. Is he still on the roster?
Yes.
Okay. Just making sure. What a trick question.
He is not Jaren, on the, is it? He is not on the injured list tonight.
It's not Jaren, is it?
No, it's not Jaren, but he's definitely not on the injured list tonight.
He's definitely. Is it Brandon Clark?
Nope.
Okay, have you pulled some like one game? Because I was like, yeah, you said plenty of games.
He's on the team, not on the injury.
Okay, I know, I'm picking up what you're putting down. I understand what you're saying.
I'm trying to, I don't want to give it away because I could say one more thing and I could give it away.
No way. Sire Williams? No. Okay, I was about to say, there's no chance. Okay.
There's a lot of people that have gotten it right.
Lamar Stevens. That's my last guess. I don't know.
It is not Lamar Stevens. It is Charlie Vines has got it right. Ethan Porter got it right. There's somebody else that got it right very, very early in the show.
No way. Does he really?
It is Trey Jemison who has the highest, and it is 56.4% on the year.
I never would have guessed that. He smoked a lot of layups when he first started playing. Good for him. That's awesome.
Everything I've ever wanted to say to Nate, Charlie says it.
Pause. Ha-ha. That's why we have to do the show over camera, because Daniel just dreams about telling me to suck it. So all right. We refuse
now
to
that's
do it
explicit. That's explicit.
Pause. Pause. Even when I lose, I win.
Yeah, so last year it was BC. He was obviously the leader in 2-point percentage right. shots. And so now, even though that hook shot ugly,
Trey. No, listen, I was about to say, I'm like, he smoked a lot of shots really close to the bucket. So good for him. That's awesome. He made up for it with all the dunks and the putbacks.
Very much so. No, he's played well, and that's what I looked at. I don't remember what his games played. I thought I took a picture or screenshot of it, of the actual number, but I didn't. But I do remember it was 56.4%, which is big. But Trey Jamison has played well tonight. The reason I say that he's on the roster, not on the injury report, he didn't play tonight. He was in street clothes, and so I tried to lead you down a bad path, but also I was going to give you a little bit of help to bring you back. But yeah, man, he has played well. He's been a breath of fresh air. He's been like kind of, you know, something that we found this year, in a sense, that can be maybe a part of the future going forward. We'll see.
He's still got a ways to go. Honestly, I would imagine he gets put on a full contract by another team before the Grizzlies are willing to put the money it would take and the roster spot it would take into him to do that. Just doesn't necessarily fit unless they move on from guys like Santi as well. So, but it's really awesome to see. Like, it's a guy who we've talked about it literally last game. We want to see him succeed. So it's super fun to watch him perform and earn his way into the NBA.
Yep. Goodness Shooter's bringing up Matt Hurt. We do not need him to come back. But
Hurt Locker.
Matt Hurt, the last home game for the Hustle, I believe it was last night, hit a last second three, I believe, to help him win the game. And so it was a shout out to him, Matt Hurt. He's played well. He's obviously came up, helped the Grizzlies a little bit, maybe got more exposure than he would have gotten this season. So he's played very well. But We'll see. But yeah, had to give a little shout out to Matt Hurt for sure.
Yeah, we gotta get some Yuta minutes in.
Yuta needs to like move it.
Do not want to be in the NBA. Have you seen that? Oh man, I don't even know what happened to Yuta. Like, is he hurt?
Didn't they say personal reasons?
I don't know if it was a wrist thing or what.
It was, but then it said personal reasons.
I don't know.
All right, I got a question. Any chance that he is the backup interpreter for Shohei Ohtani? No?
I feel like that's got to be racist. I don't know. Oh man, I don't know.
I'm saying like he knows Japanese. My God,
It feels like I shouldn't contribute to that. I don't know. Who knows, man? I listen. That's a wild story too. I've been keeping up with that.
Hey, real quick, I have kept up with it. Baseball starts tomorrow, but I will say there's two things I want to talk about. Is if you have a second, I'm gonna go ahead and tweet it out from my. We'll send it out from Grizz 901 just so everybody can have it. If you haven't seen this, the very ending of the game tonight, and this is completely getting off record, but the game tonight that we had. There was also the Philadelphia 76ers, and who did they play?
The winner?
I don't know. No. The winner. God, who is this? Let me copy and send it out.
I was right. The Clippers.
The Clippers. That's what it was. Yeah, the Clippers came back and finally. But anyway, I'm gonna tweet it out right now and put it on here. But it was Kelly Oubre just yelling at the referees. So if you want to go look at it, go ahead. But it's a very funny video. But Kelly Oubre walks up to every referee and says, "You a B," points at him. "You a B," points at him and says, "You a B." It is the funniest thing ever. Like at the end of the game, that's what exactly walks up to him and says. I just tweeted out from Grizz901 at Grizz901 Live. If you're not following us, listen, what are you doing? Go follow us. I would appreciate it. But yeah, I thought that was pretty funny tonight. It was one of those moments that you see that you go, okay, like these dudes are done, man. Done. All right. Anything else you have on any of this game tonight? I'm going to get to King Meeks' question here in a second, but I want to get your thoughts overall on the game, but anything else that you had?
No, I was just looking at that tweet. That's awesome. Yeah, I got nothing.
I had something else, and I completely slipped my mind now what I had.
Get Rui Hachimura to another team.
Yeah, for
real. Tired of that happening.
All right, this is going to be a semi – going to be kind of a short show tonight, but King Meek's got a question. If you have any questions, we have. Mm-hmm. I don't have much more. Listen, it's been these shows can get a little shorter and shorter. the content, you know, what else do you need us to talk about, honestly, about these guys? We honestly, we're hanging out in a sense, realistically. And if we, I don't want to kind of beat a dead horse with some of these games.
We're still here. Yeah, we're still here.
but we are off, just so everybody's aware, we are off Saturday. So the last game is Saturday for March. And so we are not, it's going to be a 6 o'clock start, but we are not going to be here on Saturday. But we will definitely be back whenever the next game is. When is the next game after that?
I don't know.
Listen, you're not going to be here for half the games of April.
Say, I'm pretty much gone all next.
Listen, 4-1. All right, let me go ahead. The Grizz on a one bar. Listen, that sounds great. That's where we need to be at. All right, so let me give a little bit.
A good one.
Word of advice. I like that. Grizzlies play the Pistons next game, 4-1. If Jalen Duren plays, I promise you, get the double-double. He's an absolute wagon. Like, tie your hitch to, or hitch yourself to his wagon, I guess. Yeah, whatever. Is that how it goes?
I think so. Hitch your horse to his wagon.
Okay, hitch your horse to his wagon. Go bet a double-double. Whatever that number is, if you need.
Great job, Daniel. You did good. You did good.
And but that's all I'm going to say is he's a double double machine, and so that will be 100% my bet. So go play that. But let's ask you, and let's ask the chat as well. The greatest Grizzly of all time. What say you? And do you want to put some parameters on this? Because, like, it has to be Ja Morant. Like, if you actually, like, break it down, should we take away active, like, right now?
No. And I don't think this is just, like, purely basketball player level-wise. I think this is all, like, everything it means to be a Memphis Grizzly. Which anyone who's been around here for more than a handful of years will know what I'm talking about, right? If you're talking about just the greatest player to play for the Memphis Grizzlies, it's Ja Morant. Okay. Hands down. If you're talking about the greatest just overall Grizzly of all time, it's not my personal favorite Grizzly. It's Zach Randolph.
Okay.
It's Zach Randolph. There's a reason he's the only one with a number in the arena.
So far.
So far, yeah, but he was the first, and there's a reason. He, just with everything it meant to be a part of the franchise and the city, yes. And, you know, it's the same thing. Like, Ja Morant is the best just pure skill basketball player to play for the Grizzlies. But at the same time, like, it's not reached that level yet, right?
Okay.
For the franchise. And at the same time, even on another note, like, he hasn't taken the team as far as a gazebo has yet, right? So. Yeah. This is Zach Randolph. Now, my favorite Memphis Grizzly of all time, it's well documented on the show, is Mike Conley. And I think you said anyone in that core four era, I wouldn't really argue with you. But again, it depends on what we're saying. If I think when I think Memphis Grizzlies, it's more than just the level, the skill of the player. And I would say Z-Bo.
How much of those guys tied into each other? Because as Alan said, you know, Z-Bo's greatest Grizzly of all, you know, until Ja wins more. But how much is Z-Bo tied into Mike, Mark, and TA?
Of course, yeah. I mean, they're all tied in with each other, 100%.
So you almost like it's almost like a package deal, and not to discredit them at all, like any one individually. I agree that it is Z-Bo. That's the reason I have my pillars. I've always said. That if you look up, you know, right here, it is Penny and Z-Bo who are the pillars of Memphis basketball. Like, we're talking about it, like, Penny was through and through King Cotton back in the day, right? And you're talking about, you know, Z-Bo, you know, really changed and with I guess a little bit of help of, you know, the other guys, you know, and TA, it was the grit grind era. Like, we don't bluff. Like, it was that. That's really the embodiment of the city. And so I do think that it is Z-Bo, but I think they are tied into each other. I'm curious how much of Ja, Jaren, and Bane will be tied into each other because they seem like they're all going to be around for a long time. It all depends on how far they go, really, probably. and making any of these runs.
Well, and the whole Grizz next gen thing has a foundation, but it doesn't have like the full blossoming that the core four had, right? Like the core four was truly an era.
Yeah.
Grizz next gen has like a foundation to be that, but they haven't done that yet, right? Like they haven't established the full identity like the core four did. But I mean, obviously this year is a huge, just like crappy drop in the bucket for this era is a speed bump. They'll come back next season and they'll keep developing that. And so I think they are well on their way. I think absolutely Ja Morant could end up usurping that. It just hadn't reached that yet, you know?
Yeah.
It's a feeling absolutely. More than it is what you can point to.
Yeah. Well, what I will say is, like, I saw the city on fire when Ja was, I'm sorry, when Z-Bo, Mark, T.A., Mike, all of them were here, like, screaming, you know, and yelling Z-Bo's name as you're walking out of a playoff game was probably the coolest moment I've ever had or been a part of.
Yeah.
But just think about how that was and how it is right now. The level that I hate giving Ja all the credit, but it's Ja Morant. Like without Ja, there is no Bane for the most part, right? And there is no Jaren. Bro, Ja has taken this to an incredible level that honestly that he doesn't get enough credit for because the past couple of years have kind of just gone down the drain due to personal decisions, you know, injury, you know, bad injuries and whatever. But it will be Ja at some point because dude is just like he's taken this stardom to just crazy levels.
Well, and to be clear, it's not necessarily fair because the core four was something special. Like it was like something that not every team in the NBA has been around for a long time has had something like that.
Yeah.
Right. And it was more than just the game with those guys. It was something throughout the entire city. It was like a heartbeat of the entire city. Yeah. Right. And like I said, Ja Morant, Grizz Next Gen are well on their way to being something like that. But we both were around for it. It's just not that yet, you know? No. If it becomes that, which it looks very much so like it's going to, that changes all that.
Yeah. Well, LOL, nope. Jones, his favorite player was T.A. He used to scream at T.A., just pissed off, like blowing layups, just angry. I'm like, what is happening?
Well, you said him and John Contra are the same player, so we know you don't appreciate T.A.
They are the exact same player.
Such an idiot.
But you know what I appreciate? What I appreciate is Heaven's Healthy Kitchen. And that is a grassroots business that was started right here in Memphis. Chef Smith is a Memphian, promotes that healthy eating and wellness. If you want to eat like Jitty, if you want to eat like TA, go eat Heaven's Healthy Kitchen. And if you want to go cook at home and get cooked like Nate, you can get this cookbook from Amazon and download today, Heaven's Healthy Kitchen Cookbook. They're also doing monthly pop-ups, so stay tuned for that. The next one is coming in April. We're going to let you know more about that on the next show. So make sure you can get your orders all in. But go ahead, and if you want to go ahead and find out all the information right now, go over to orderhhk.com. They are serving and catering plant-based and vegan gourmet food straight to you. So go check out. Always show some love to Heaven's Healthy Kitchen Pews, as well as Streetcars of Memphis. Go use that code Grizz901. Get you a 55 regular oil change, $65. Full synthetic. All right, let's get to this last question. Real quick. Where did it go? There it is. Greatest Grizz coach of all time. We'll get out of here on this one. If you had to answer that right now.
Taylor Jenkins. Suck it, Chris. Oh, we're here to have fun. I think like sort of objectively, it's Lionel Hollins. But I mean, you can't objectively Lionel Hollins, but also I think it probably goes a little bit underrated what Hubie Brown did for the team.
Yeah.
I mean, the turnaround Hubie Brown did for the team is pretty, I think people do acknowledge it, but I think it still can be a little bit underrated, the turnaround he had. But I would say I would take LOL Nopes and I would throw in Hubie instead of Jenkins. Jenkins, and again, we are not Jenkins haters on here. I would say Hubie, though. I'd say Hollins, Hubie, Jaeger, probably.
Jaeger over Jenkins? Like that, like, listen, I'm fine if you want to take Hollins.
Maybe I'm just over biased towards the way that everything felt while we were there, while Jaeger was coaching the team because of the team he had. So,
like, I loved Dave Jaeger. Maybe not. I thought he was a very good coach.
The only ones I'm attached to are Hubie and Lionel.
Yeah, I think you can argue Lionel, Hubie, for sure. I think Jenkins is there just because he's got the wins and they've gotten far. Unfortunately, they haven't finished in the playoffs like these other teams have. So you have to knock him down because of that. You have to. Like, that's just, it's just Jenkins. Mad. Yeah. You have to.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I don't know. It's not a fun year to defend Taylor Jenkins. It's not. But at the same time, it's like, dude, this team is like so young. It's like almost the first thing I thought about Jawa whenever we got that bad news was, oh, he's old enough to drink. It's like, you know, it's one of those things where those core four teams were old, right? Those teams broke up because of how old the team was, yeah. Right? And so there's a little bit of that to throw in there, but yeah, he probably hasn't proven it yet. But again, the only ones I'm attached to, Hubie, Lionel.
Yeah. Listen, I think some underrated guys, you know, that.
Say Jamie.
Huh?
Mm-mm. Don't do it.
I think some underrated coaches that have come through here, I think, are Dave Jaeger. I think he was very underrated. You know, there's a lot of guys that suck. I hate Sidney Lowe. I hated Sidney Lowe. I really did. I thought he sucked. I thought the long neck white guy, Mark Ivoroni, just blew. Like, he was one of the worst. We've had some really good ones. We've had some terrible ones. But honestly, you know, it kind of was, you know, Lionel, Hubie, kind of getting it back, you know, kind of on track. And then, you know, I think that you had Dave Jaeger kind of take it to the next level a little bit, right? Like, heading the right direction. Who they go to after Dave Jaeger?
Is it JB?
JB Bickerstaff. Yep. And then JB to Taylor Jenkins?
Mm.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Listen, I like – oh, yeah, Mark Fratello was not good. I forgot about him.
I forgot about Fratello, too.
I like – see, I hated David Fizdale. David Fizdale, No Bluffing Podcast brings him up. I hated David Fizdale. I thought he was a pompous a-hole. Like, I just give me a conversation about coaching without you bringing up your stupid ring that you got with three of the best athletes in the world. Like, come on. Take that for data.
Well, the data is he has rings, so I don't know. That's probably the wrong way to say it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I didn't like Fizdale at all. But yeah, it was Fizdale, and then whatever. Really? I did not like Dave Fizdale. He just rubbed me wrong.
Dude is a whole ass bad vibe in and of himself.
I didn't like him. But it is what it is. Listen, I'm not going to like every coach, but I just going through those names makes me appreciate Taylor Jenkins, because like, it hasn't been like a train wreck. Like, it was a train wreck through some of that.
Dude, I was just thinking, what if Fratello or Fizdale was coaching this team?
Yeah. Dude, I did not like Fratello. I think the worst two were probably, I see that Black New DJ is bringing them up. I think Ivoroni and Fratello might have been the worst. Like, those two just looked like they didn't know what they were doing. And then Fratello's on, I think he was on ABC or NBC or whatever, and it was just bad.
Chris.
Whatever. Stupid. Anyway, all right, that's enough. I know we kind of got off trail with that, but that's what makes this fun. But yeah, maybe we'll go through the actual coaching tree at some point and go back in down memory lane. Anybody got anything they want to hit on before we get out of here? If you got any suggestions on something to kind of target for Grizz Trivia, I have all weekend to kind of look through. I'm going to try to get some good Grizz trivia as we go throughout the year. But also, you're going to be out of pocket. Do you know when you're going to be off the show?
Always out of pocket. I'm going to be out pretty much like the 4th all the way through the 11th, pretty much.
Okay. So we're going to bring – yeah, we'll bring in some people that okay, I'm looking at now. So you'll be at the – so you'll be Monday and Wednesday, and the next game you'll be back is April 12th. And you're going to be – and then I'm going to be off on April 12th. It's my anniversary, so I'm going to be off from then. And so I'm going to have some co-hosts.
So, oh, yeah, me too.
I'm going to have some co-hosts April 5th, April 9th, and April 10th. So those three, I'll have some I'll have a different co-host. And then Ned will be back here on April 12th, and he'll have a different co-host. And that will be for the Lakers game. And it looks like it is a home Lakers game, second to last game of the year. I can't imagine I'll be here. I'm not going to take that chance. But the Sunday game, we'll try to have some fun on the 14th. So anybody else got anything else in the chat you're going to hit on? If not, we're going to kind of wrap it up. But, Nate, you got anything?
Nope. I feel wonderful.
Yep. All right. Well, that's all we got. Listen, y'all have always been amazing. It's always been a good time. And so we'll kind of get on out of here. But if you don't have anything, I don't have anything. Man, we'll see y'all all Monday for the Pistons. Jalen Duren double-double game.
Correct.
Hit your wagon, baby. Be nice and tell your friends.